Oh, yeah. Class is in session for Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated educators, talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob Chairman of the Board, and me, Dr. Tim Slecker, here to, you know, it's class, man. Johnny, it's time to do some teaching and learning. We got so much stuff, though, that's out there. And this reminds me of, like, when I was a classroom teacher, making that decision of, you know, and yeah, I'm sorry, this was back in the Stone Ages when teachers had the ability to kind of have some authority and sensibilities over what to teach, when to teach. But particularly, I always started every morning with, you know, current events, with my fifth graders and things. And it's sometimes there's so many things going on that it's overwhelming. That where do you go? Which direction do you point out? And then today, the the minefield that a teacher faces, just making a decision to even talk about current events because of how potentially current events themselves could be, well, whose point of view are you representing in these current events? And, you know, Johnny, between AI, between student loan forgiveness, between a surging interest in civics education itself, it makes me just, you know, wonder, is it time to open up, like, how do we make decisions about what to teach, when to teach? Let's not spend a lot of time on this one because you said we're not deep enough into it yet. But, you know, quick blast, and I'll set up the story that actually kind of created a push for me to say, hey, we need to cover this. My daughter, who, well, okay, they're said enough, right? My daughter, understanding that in fifth grade, she testified at the local school board about why she shouldn't have to take standardized tests. Now at age 22 and about to graduate college with student loan debt, was very animated this weekend when across her news feed, she found out that, at least according to the way she read this, that ICE, if you join ICE, you'll get student loan forgiveness. And that really upset her because she was feeling like, well, Dad, how come, what's wrong with my student loan forgiveness? There's a really good chance that I'm going to work in a national park. She's a wildlife studies major. Although, you know, national parks, so we don't really need paid people working there anymore. But she was really upset about this and really saw this as one more bit of evidence that this administration is giving out favorite party favors, you want to put it, only to certain specific people. And, you know, my gut reaction was to go, yeah, WTF. You know, but that's not as simple as it is, right, Johnny?
Well, Tim, nothing like raw dogging it right into the show, man. It's August. Lots of us teachers are getting ready to go back to school. So classrooms are gearing up in the next couple of weeks around the country for most school districts by the end of August, usually by the first week of September. A lion's share of the students in this country return to their classrooms, and just ahead of those students, the teachers. So we're trying to soak up the last bits of summer, Tim. So you come in hot with a lot this morning, but I guess that's how class in session is. To be fair, listeners, I was on vacation for a week and I popped into some shows, but you know, we had a good homeroom already. And so I'm late, like it's like my homeroom, but it's Wednesday, you know, so I'm jumping right into class, underprepared, still feeling vacation-y. And still trying to soak up those last bits of summer. And Tim, I think you were being sarcastic, but I just want to clarify, we do need humans working in national parks.
I know. I was.
Oh yeah, on. That was the sarcasm.
You're
was,
cut.
I'm getting yeah. better at detecting.
You are. I was gonna. I was gonna say you're actually the so fact I that just, you came
I
back.
I just wanted to highlight that, like, pump my own tires a little bit, listener out there, on the record officially, and now Jacob can know, like, hey, I'm starting to detect Tim's sarcasm, because I was like, wait a minute, we do need people in national parks, you know. But Tim, this brings up a great point as we're gearing up to go back to school, and two social studies teachers here. I'm going to tease Tim a little bit. Tim, were you teaching last century? I think technically you were, weren't you? You were back.
In the
previous century. I miss it by 1 year, so I can tease him a little bit. I started my classroom teaching in the early 2000, 1 year. So, you know, I was right on the cusp of being a teacher last century, but I was still a student until this current century. But Tim, teaching with current events, especially as, you know, two social studies teachers here, you know, educated educators whose expertise happens to be, you know, teaching about democracy and history and geography and all those cool things related to social studies. But the whole point, Tim, is being current events is always a great place to sort of gauge where your students are at, what they're learning about in the world, what's, you know, kind of influencing them, as well as building their worldviews out, even if they're younger people, right? What's happening in their worlds. And as they get a little older, like fourth, fifth, sixth grade, certainly middle school and high school, there's those great resources like CNN 10 or like Channel 1. And I know, Tim, even last century, they had these things where they were really sort of fact-based, non-slanted with like political opinion.
Right.
Right. But giving you sort of the pulse of what's happening in the world, you know, every day. And it's a great way to sort of gauge what's happening in our students' lives. I do the same thing, Tim. I started every class, even when I was math teacher, started every class with a few minutes of, hey, what's happening in your world, right? It's an opportunity to build connection, to ground oneself, to co-regulate in a space. Because if something's a buzz, you got to settle it before you can get into learning. So it's always great. But Tim, you highlight one of the big concerns. I know you're going to pull me out of this vacation mode, but yes, all of us teachers returning to the classroom, one of the things that's on our mind is this moment we're in where it's so hyper politicized, and for good reason. There's a lot of, you know, meh. I'm trying to censor myself for the podcast. That's meh's my beep for, you know, whatever, fill in your word of choice there. But there's a lot of meh happening in the world that's real. And it's on our students' minds. It's on our minds as teachers. And then layer on top of that, it's become sort of a taboo thing. There's a chilling effect, Tim, I believe you spoke to and warned about, you know, to discuss too much that's political in the classroom. Well, everything's so political right now. It's like, how do you address what's happening in students' lives? So that's on all of our minds. Hopefully we can have some future class and sessions with that, Tim, because I'd love to talk a little bit more about navigating those tensions and staying committed. But Tim, you brought up a good point too with, like, you know, your daughter coming across. We all have news feeds. I talk about this with students too. I do. I have social media news feeds, and there's algorithms behind that. There's a whole program that sort of, you know, learns our views, learns what we like and dislike, and kind of, you know, what we might be shopping for at the current moment. That's, you know, targeted ads. But we're also seeing things that are aligned to usually how we think or interests. And so it puts us, no matter where you're at in the political spectrum, it puts us in a vulnerable position to a rapid spread of sometimes misinformation. Not saying that this is misinformation, Tim, but this is a great class in session because it happens to all of us where a news article comes across. And I'm not saying that it's not true, that if you work for ICE or if you're part of a recruitment package in ICE, I haven't really done a deep dive on the research on it, but a cursory dive, just, you know, kind of clicking around with some of my trustworthy sources, it quickly led me to say, yeah, this is actually true. And also, you know, alarming, because politically, Tim, we may be at, you know, kind of against the actions of ICE at this, you know, moment as individuals. I'm sort of probably speaking to the choir out there, listeners too, but maybe you're not. But I want to be fair about this one, Tim. This is part of public service loan forgiveness, right? I mean, so it's alarming, but it's one of those, I don't want to quite call it clickbait, because that, again, makes it seem like, oh no, I got tricked again. And there's nothing wrong with what your daughter did. We all do it. We look at a screen, you know, we get some information from a, you know, a regular source even, and we start to say, hey, okay, what does this mean? And how do we take what we're reading or seeing, and then what are our steps to fact check it, to kind of put it in context? And not saying that your daughter or you didn't, Tim, but it's a great lesson for class in session, because any bit of information we get nowadays, it's become really important to build in a practice of saying, where'd you get this information from? Let me do a couple more little clicks around before I get too dysregulated, right? Before my nervous system starts to go too far off track, right? Where's the information coming from? Let's put it into context. And for me, it's a great example, because it sort of feels a little bit like it's trying to grab attention and rile people up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for good reason, maybe the publishing people of that article, right, in particular, you know, words highlight some things and they hide other things. They wanted, you know, their viewers to be all upset or to be aware that, did you know that people who are recruited, part of a recruitment and retention program in a government agency, which includes, Tim, right, teachers, professors, and all kinds of things around, like, state employment. If you're part of recruitment and retention of, you know, state-funded agencies, well, you could be receiving, as part of that package of employment, some public service loan forgiveness up to a certain amount. I mean, it's up to $60,000 if it's all true, what I'm reading. I put that out there, Tim, because on a minimal amount of time prepping, I kind of did that. Hey, well, that's a really interesting story. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of put it into context with what kind of sources we have out there. And I think that's a good lesson, Tim. Is that kind of where you were going? You're pulling me out of vacation mode.
No. So let me set this up a little bit more too, because you know what? I really do see, and again, we're you know, for anybody who wants to check it out, we're referring to specifically an article in The Intercept, and that was on August 2nd, Student Debt Loan Forgiveness for ICE Agents. And yeah, I came across my daughter's newsfeed, and it really upset her. And I think this really is to say, well, you know, why did this article come out and frame, which for the most part is public student loan forgiveness, which currently is still legal, as if this was something that was excluding others. And I really do see this as trying to really understand your sources and how they're trying to motivate people, because my daughter and my son, and Jacob, I don't know if this might be referring to you also, qualified under Biden for that first initial $10,000. And my daughter, because at the time I wasn't working, qualified for a Pell Grant. She qualified for $20,000 of loan forgiveness. They filled out the right paperwork. They gave that, they submitted, and were then told, for people who went through that at that time, you are going to get this $10,000 to $20,000 loan forgiveness. And guess what happened? Well, no, sir, blah, 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 blah. You don't get it. And politically, it got shut down eventually by the Supreme Court. Jacob, were you in any situation to be able to ask for that loan forgiveness?
That's a very good question, Tim. I forgot to check because I was still in college and I didn't think about planning for after college.
Yeah. See, my daughter was fully in. My son was out. But
guy like me, how can you, what would you say to an ignorant fellow like me who is not even thinking about how to pay this off? Because I'm still in college. What does it matter?
Well, here's the deal. You emotionally, you're better off because you didn't go through the elevation of imagining that you were going to experience forgiveness,
yeah,
as if you had done something wrong by going to college, which I always said was a framing problem from the Biden administration to, quote, ask forgiveness for going to college.
That's a good point, Tim.
You know, but, you know, it really did, because it made a lot of people get happy a little bit. They saw a light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, we had a, you know, producer at the time, it was, you know, pre-Civic Media, who was really like wrapping it all together with the $10,000 and stuff. Like he went from, oh my God, I've got, you know, 10 to 20 years of debt payments, to this sets me up to be almost debt free when I'm done with college. And that was a big deal. And so I think about the kind of positive vibes that people felt, and then that crash when it went away. And so, Johnny, thinking about that, right? My daughter, my son, those students out there are baitable then, yeah, from a source like The Intercept that really took a story that's sort of a non-story from the standpoint of truly objective facts, which is ICE agents are federal public employees, and the public student loan forgiveness program is still currently in operation.
Yeah.
And it's a mess.
And many people out there, self included, probably all of us to some degree, and listener, if you can't relate, I guarantee you're one person removed from someone who can relate, just because of the sheer statistics and the number of the student loan, you know, debt crisis in this country. But the idea here is, like, there is a lot of vulnerable, like you said, I call it vulnerable, I guess that's more negative. But, you know, like falling into the trap,
yeah.
I feel like, I mean, it's a story, it's true, like, report it, but it kind of comes across. And Tim, I'm sort of upset about it a little bit, because I feel like, man, it's already hard enough to be tangled in the web.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of student loan, like you're saying, like student loan forgiveness. I like how you remind people words highlight certain things and, you know, hide other things. And it's highlighting this fact. And somehow it was like, you made a mistake, you know, I messed up. You went to college, so we're going to try and help forgive you for that misstep. You know, I love how you phrase that, because it's, you know, set up linguistically to be a problem. But the idea, you know, is that, like, it's tense for a lot of people. It's a source of stress, a source of tension. And if not those two, it sure as heck gets confusing, mm-hmm, because I've been navigating it for 20 some years. I've been paying all the time, and it's always changing. And there's always, like, you know, you have to have a full-time job just to keep up with and get the updates. You have to take a couple of days off work, be on hold all over the place, you know, hire an expert that costs as much as paying the loan to, you know, figure it all out. But nonetheless, yeah, so it's at least a source of confusion. So, but this is, but I don't want to just pick on, like, The Intercept today.
No.
The awesome thing of you bringing it up, Tim, is the class in session is reminding us, especially as we're gearing up to go back to the classrooms and teach, is to be actively engaged in, where does our information come from? What kind of information are we bringing into the decision-making? What kind of information, you know, you always hear those phrases like your body is a temple, or like your mind is, you know, a sacred space. Our classrooms are protected and safe places for students, but they're not isolated from the outside world. So as information comes in, how do we as groups, like students and teachers together, you know, navigate that vast sea of information and learn skills, important life skills for, you know, this era, Tim, like us old timers, teachers from last century, we would never have imagined that we'd be teaching about, you know, misinformation, disinformation, navigating a vast sea of information, fact checking, really important stuff that we used to trust sources, mm-hmm, on. Right. And again, I'm coming back to this. We're teaching now and we're digesting information in a massive erosion of trust, which is a big threat to democracy. So as you're gearing up to go back to the classroom, man, Tim and Jacob pulled me out of vacation mode. I'm amped up. I'm plugged in. And it's reminding me, Tim, to sharpen my pencil. We're not going to bust the pencil. We're just sharpening the pencil around what kind of lesson plans and what kind of co-learning can we do together as teachers with our students in order to navigate the vast amount of information out there and to restore trust, to build trust in one another and in our own confidence and navigating vast seas of information with it. Good information, misinformation, disinformation, all the above. But that reminds me, Tim, we should be writing out those, scrawling out those lesson plans and thinking about how we teach together to build trust, which in turn builds stronger democratic citizens, which in turn strengthens democracy, and link it back to Busted Pencils right here at the roots of strengthening democracy as we head into August. Love being back, fellas. Thanks for the show today. And class is gonna be out of session soon.
Tim, is there time for me to say one thing?
Yes, Jacob.
It's been building up in me this whole show, and I think it's a great way to wrap us back over to a previous episode, and then it's gonna be really rewarding for the people who listen to every show.
Okay.
So I just think you guys last week in the producer's choice, you were talking about how it felt good to have teachers want to actually deal with you on a real level and make you feel like you're heard and make you feel like you're not just a kid, but you're part of the conversation. Talking about this week, same thing, the ability to bring those current events and talk to your students. I remember in high school, in my civics class, starting things off with questions about the news, that did feel really good for me. And it did feel good to be, you know, treated more adult as a, even though you're a high school student or given the impression that your opinions are important and they do matter. So you guys should keep doing that, because I think that the way you felt is the way that I felt, and it's the way a lot of kids feel.
Whoa, that felt like a compliment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll walk it back.
Okay. Oh, man. But yeah, good stuff here. And you know what? Yeah. And Johnny, you say trust. We're going to get out of this classroom and let you go to your locker and take a sip of that Red Bull that we know you have sitting in your locker, and maybe even hit that. Well, I won't say that.
And they didn't even have Red Bull when
I know. You know what was in? Well,
but your thumb is on the pulse of students these days, because every time I'm in the hallway in the middle school, I definitely see kids shotgunning Red Bulls.
I got the Red Bull, and you know, hey, well, you know, and rest in peace, Lonnie Anderson, who may have been in lots of my friends' lockers as a poster. Lonnie Anderson, WKRP in Cincinnati, right there. Jacob had to bring that back to radio to lay that in there. But you know what? Now it's time for your moment of zen. Our problem with justice is not a corrupt judge or bribed jury, but the ordinary day-to-day functioning of the police, the law, the courts, where property rights come before human rights.
Well, thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Class in Session. And you can always grab great podcasts like this one. Just go on over and search Busted Pencils on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Of course, you can always find us at Civic Media website or at BustedPencils.com. And don't forget that you can find us throughout the week, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, with homerooms, class and sessions, and always loads of fun as we wrap up the work week on Fridays with Jacob's Producer's Choice. And listen up, pencil busters. You can always catch the Busted Pencils at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busted pencils.